Hello again, this is Cyril Stevens from Christmas Valley. We greet you in the name of the Lord Jesus. We wish you all a very happy Christmas. May this be one of the best Christmases you've ever come across in your experience and life. Now, we have been looking at the words of the Lord Jesus where he said, "Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel." And the gospel is to be preached at home and in the near vicinity of home and in the wider circle of the country and eventually in the widest of circles all through the world. And we are to preach that gospel. And the question has been raised, and I have raised it, what is the gospel? And many people will immediately say, well, it's the preaching. No, that's not quite right. The gospel is good news. Now, the definition of the word gospel is simply and purely good news. There's nothing else to say about it. It's the good news. What was the good news? Well, it was the good news that Jesus Christ, God's only begotten Son, came into the world to suffer and to die for our sins, and on the third day be raised from the dead and come back and talk to his disciples and lead his disciples into the ministry of the good news, the gospel. What is this gospel? I keep asking the question because of its tremendous importance to you and to me, that we may know what the gospel is. If you turn into the first chapter of Matthew, you read that Matthew gives us a sort of abbreviation of the genealogy of the Lord Jesus so that we may see that Jesus was God's Son. This boy that was in flesh, dwelling among us on earth at that time, this wonderful Lord Jesus Christ is God's Son incarnate. That is, he is made to fit into this world. For instance, the Bible says that he was tempted in all ways like as we are, yet was without sin. The purpose of saying this is for us to understand that he was not deaf and without compassion towards the attitude of people that loved God the Father and the Son by people that didn't love God the Father and God the Son. Now today we have all kinds of demonstrations going on saying that this tale is a fairy tale. It is not. It is good news, and it is still good news. It is still ringing out great news, good news, to all who will listen and all who will hear. Let every person that hears the word of God pronounced, let them spend time cogitating upon this, and as they do, have them come to know that the Lord Jesus is God's wonderful Son. God has said of Jesus, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. I am very pleased to have this son." It's a great and wonderful thing. When our children were born, I had to say this within my own heart. Am I pleased that we have this wonderful child? And I must say that it caused me a great deal of thought because this wonderful child, whatever the child was, a boy or a girl, was God's gift to us in a very special way. Because of the specialness of this child, we went to prayer and we started praying for the ones that they would marry, and the results of their marriages would be so glorious that the children would come to know the Lord Jesus Christ at an early age and serve him with the rest of their lives, that the word of God in our family might continue to go on. We did that, and all our children are loving the Lord Jesus, and all their children are loving the Lord Jesus, and we are all, as a family, worshipping that the Lord Jesus Christ is God's Son, because he represents the person, the personification, if you like, of salvation. For there is no other name given among men under heaven whereby a man may be saved. All the good works in the world will pile up like a great dung heap if we're not very careful, but we are very good people, we will pronounce, and we will tell others. We are good people. And here in America, where would you find such generosity in the rest of the world? Practically nowhere. Yet, here in this country, we have people who have been generous, kind, understanding, and have been helpful. And I have lived here since 1969, and I have to tell you that people have been wonderfully kind to me, to my wife, to my children, and my grandchildren. Isn't that wonderful? I think it's wonderful. And God has caused people to see the way we lived and has blessed us with blessings that were superlative. Well, anyway, I want to get away from me. Jesus was born of a virgin. Now, I know that the critics of this expression are going to jump all over me mentally, if not physically. They will come and say, in effect, that's rubbish. It can't be. A virgin cannot bear a child. But a virgin did bear a child because the Bible said this is what would happen. And if you go into the 20th verse, I think it is, of the first chapter of Matthew, you read, as Joseph was thinking over these things that had been said, he was told that he should not be afraid and take Mary, his wife, for in her is conceived a child that she will bear. And verse 21 says, she will bear a child, and you shall call his name Jesus. In Hebrew, that means Savior. For he shall save his people from their sins, that is, prevent them their falling and missing the true end and scope of life, which is God. All this took place that it might be fulfilled, which the Lord had spoken through the prophet, behold, a virgin shall become pregnant and give birth to a son. They shall call his name Emmanuel, which being translated means God with us. Now this is Isaiah 7:14. And the people that heard this sort of expression when this was first written understood exactly this good news. This good news was fulfilled in the person of Jesus. This is verse 24. Joseph, being aroused from his sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had commanded him and took her to his side as his wife, and he had no union with her as her husband until she had borne her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. Now you may say you don't like to hear the name of Jesus, but I love to hear the name of Jesus. Jesus is a name that is above all names. At the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow, every tongue shall confess that he is King of glory now. This time is coming, and we should hear the good news. Now, in our news broadcasts, we very often hear the negatives and, oh, the gloom and the doom of this and that. But it doesn't matter. Jesus is coming. I know it's 2,000 plus years since he was on this earth, but he said, I am coming. I'm coming back. I happen to be one of those that believe implicitly that Jesus will come back. And he comes when he wants to. It is God that makes the move. It is God that makes things work, that live and move and have their being. This is God's creation, not man's, and it doesn't matter what army fights what army, what country seeks to be superior over another country, or some family member wants to indulge in being the guru of the family. The point is that Jesus is alive. He rose from the dead, and he ever lives to make intercession for us. Well, now, if you have a Bible, keep it open, and let's look at the second chapter of Matthew. And you will find there the whole story and all these wonderful prophecies. For instance, go to verse 2, and Jesus, who has been born King of the Jews, this was the question of the wise men, for we have seen his star in the east at its rising and have come to worship him. You can read it for yourself in Jeremiah 23 and verse 5, in Zechariah 9 and verse 9, and in Numbers, all the way back to Numbers in chapter 24 and verse 17. Now, Herod didn't want to be deposed. He was a very clever, diverse man. He was a man of schemes, and he had had many people murdered to get them out of his way. And people had been removed because they said nasty things about him and all that sort of thing, just like today. There is nothing new under the sun. All our politicians are acting just as the politicians did in the day of Jesus. Will you cast your eyes further down to verse 6, where we read that the answer when he, Herod, had asked, "Where will this Jesus be born?" Why, the people said, "Don't you know? It is written by the prophet, 'In you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, you are not in any way the least among the insignificant among the chief cities of Judah. For from you shall come a ruler," or leader, "who will govern and shepherd my people Israel." Now, check it out. Micah in chapter 5 and verse 2. Now, this is a prophecy that came up, and they knew it all. Then when Herod sent for the wise men, who were astrologers, he sent for them secretly and accurately to the last point, ascertained from them the time of the appearing of the star, that is, how long the star had made itself visible since it's rising in the east. Now, here's his cunning, and this is where the subterfuge comes in. He sent them to Bethlehem, saying, "Go search out this child carefully and diligently, and when you have found him, bring me word, that I may too come and worship him." When they had listened to the king, they went their way, and lo, the star which had been seen in the east in its rising went before them, until it came and stood over the place where the young child was. When they saw the star, they were thrilled with ecstatic joy. Going into the house, they saw the child with Mary his mother. They fell down and worshipped him. Then, opening their treasure bags, they presented him with gifts of gold and frankincense and myrrh. And receiving an answer to their asking, they were divinely instructed and warned in a dream not to go back to Herod. So they departed to their own country by a different way. Now, after they had gone, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream and said, "Get up, take unto you the young child and his mother, and flee to Egypt, and remain there until I tell you otherwise. For Herod intends to search for the child in order to destroy him." And having risen, he took the child and the mother by night and withdrew to Egypt, and remained there until Herod's death, which was to fulfill what the Lord had spoken by the prophet. Now listen to this. This is in Hosea chapter 11 and verse 1. "Out of Egypt have I called my son." Then Herod, when he realized that he had been misled by the wise men, was furiously enraged, and he sent and put to death all the male children in Bethlehem and in all that territory who were 2 years old and under reckoning, according to the date which he had investigated diligently and learned exactly from the wise men. Then was fulfilled what was spoken by the prophet Jeremiah, which is Jeremiah 31 and verse 15. The voice was heard in Ramah, wailing and loud lamentation, Israel weeping for her children. She refused to be comforted because they were no more. When Herod died, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared in a dream to Joseph in Egypt and said, Arise, take unto you the child and his mother, and go to the land of Israel, for those who sought the child's life are dead. Then he awoke and arose and tenderly took the child and his mother and came unto the land of Israel. But because he heard that Archelaus was ruling over Judea in the place of his father Herod, he was afraid to go there. And being divinely warned in a dream, he withdrew to the region of Galilee. He went and dwelt in a town called Nazareth, so that what was spoken through the prophets might be fulfilled. He shall be called a Nazarene. Now the word Nazarene means, quite literally, branch or separated one. And you can read that for yourself in Isaiah 11 and 1. Now here's all these prophecies to the people. This was good news, because they knew all these prophecies, and they knew that the prophecies were absolutely from God. So now we have this picture. They knew that Jesus was the Son of God because the prophecies were fulfilled. This was good news. Good news. Now there is yet more good news. For we read, if we go into Luke's Gospel, we find ourselves faced with a wonderful factor, and that is that Jesus was just a little baby. This wonderful Lord Jesus Christ coming into the world reshaped the whole thinking of the world. And it is an amazing factor. And the good news is that he came. And the good news is that he stayed. And we have in the second chapter of Luke that the Spirit came into the temple when the parents brought the child Jesus to carry out for him the custom of the law. Now, Jesus was under the law as a bond servant, it appears. It's important for us to see what takes place. Now, on the side of the mountain are some shepherds. Now, these are not the intelligentsia of the world. They look after the sheep, they look after the goats, and they are shepherds. I've been amongst these people, and I must say their hospitality is remarkable, and they are really lovely people. Verse 9 of chapter 2 of Luke, the angel of the Lord suddenly stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were terribly frightened. But the angel of the Lord said to them, Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good news. There's that word again. The gospel. I bring you good news of great joy, which will be for all the people. For today in the city of David there has been born for you a Saviour, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find the baby wrapped in swaddling clothes and laying in a manger. And suddenly, oh, this must have been breathtaking. And suddenly, there appeared with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among men, with whom he is well pleased. When the angels had gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds began saying to one another, Let's go straight to Bethlehem, then, and see this thing which has happened, which the Lord has made known unto us. So they came in a hurry and found their way to Mary and Joseph and the baby as he lay in a manger. When they had seen this, they made known the statement which had been told them about this child, and all who heard it wondered at the things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary treasured all these things, pondering them in her heart, and the shepherds went back, glorifying and praising God for all that they had heard and seen, and just as had been said to them. This was good news. They had had this revelation from God. Now, in the first instance, the revelation was to the intelligentsia, the scribes, the Pharisees, the priests. There's the intelligence, there's the religion, and they were told, and they knew it anyway. They knew all the prophecies of the Bible, and they knew that this child would come and be born this way, and all these strange things would take place. They knew it. The good news, the gospel, was, it's happened. Now, to the men sitting in the field, watching their flocks by night, and watching over a very meager purse, if you like. They weren't rich. They didn't have much. They couldn't enter into the great discussions that the intelligentsia got into. There was nothing to discuss with the Apostle Paul or Gamaliel, one of the greatest theologians of his time. There was nothing to discuss. They saw an angel. They heard and saw lights flashing in all directions. They heard and saw a troop of the heavenly hosts all singing. Now, one man that has translated this, Kenneth Wiest, he says that the troops of heaven joined in this great chorus. Let's look at what was said, because it's very important. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among men, with whom he is well pleased. We must understand with whom he is well pleased are the people that are following him, the people that have turned to him, the people that are trusting God and not trusting in governments or societies or systems or programs, trusting God. Is your faith in that place? Is your faith put in the place where you trust God, the living God, the God that made the heavens and the earth, the God that created all things? Are you prepared to put your trust in him who loves you and gave himself for you? Are you in the hand of the Creator and you cry out knowing you're in his hand because he is perfect and wonderful? Jesus is God's Son. Jesus came down, and he is the personification of the gospel. And this should be the great news at this time of year. I don't care whether Jesus was actually born on the 25th of December. I expect that somebody plucked that from some imagination and it became written in the annals of time and into our calendars. That doesn't bother me. That's of no consequence to me at all. The fact is, Jesus came, and he came as a babe born of a virgin, and Jesus lived and was tempted in all ways like I am. He understood my humanity, the desperation of my humanity, the needs of my humanity. He understood, and he understood to the point where he suffered for my sin, and he died for my sin, and he became the propitiation for my sin. And the Lord Jesus Christ rose from the dead. And the Lord Jesus Christ is alive today. And the Lord Jesus is sitting on the right hand of the Father in heaven. And the Lord Jesus is the Savior. We cannot go to anyone else to receive salvation. Oh, our politicians may make it easier for us to live or worse for us to live. They may condemn us. They may call us names. They may say we're stupid and foolish. They may say dozens of things about us. And most likely they're truthful, because their standard of understanding stupidity is not one of faith. It is one of arrogance. Their misunderstanding of God and their misunderstanding of the things of God is wildly foolish. We need repentance, and we need to see humility, and we need to see our leaderships falling upon the ground and crying out, O Lord my God, when I in awesome wonder consider all the worlds thy hands have made. Oh, listen to the birds sing. You cannot imitate him better. You cannot make a song so perfect. Oh, listen to the chatter-chat of the squirrel. Who can decipher that language? Nobody has, ever. Listen to the things around you. See the sky so wondrously painted, morning and evening especially, as the sun rises and the sun sets, or as the moon rises and the moon sets. See the artistry of what heaven is like. All the squabbles in the world will not bring us to our knees quicker than knowing that Jesus is Lord. I must stop. But here's the gospel. This is the good news. Let's pray. As you revealed the good news to people that were just shepherds, and they were just intelligentsias, so we come to you today and ask, O Lord, reveal unto us your mighty hand and cause us to cry out, my Lord, my God, that we in awesome wonder may recognize who you are. We pray these things in your precious name. Amen. Hey, thanks for listening. Thank you very much. Goodbye.